Welcome to Look Ahead Radio and Viewpoints Around the World. My name is Tom Arms, and in a moment I'll be joined by my old friend Lockwood Phillips. This week we're talking about the new darling of the global alt-right, Tommy Robinson. Bit of background about him. We're also talking about the political mess in Italy. We're talking about democracy in India, abortion in Ireland and possibly Northern Ireland, immigration problems in Hungary and Austria, and the future of London buskers. I hope you enjoy listening. Thank you very much.
Welcome to Look Ahead Radio with Tom Arms and Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms this afternoon. We're joined, of course, by Tom from London, England, where as we are broadcasting this program, it is going on towards the middle of the evening, midnight. And so we have pre-recorded this program, as we are always want to do, but still early on in the afternoon for him as we begin this recording. And with that, Tom, good afternoon to you. Good evening here in the States as this is broadcast. But pleasure to have you with us. And tell us, what's it like right now in London?
At the moment, it's a little bit overcast. But we've had some really great weather. At the weekend, we had a four-hour thunderstorm that involved 14,000 lightning strikes in 4 hours.
Wow. In the London area, or, I mean...
Yeah, right over London. The sky was just electric blue. Mm. It just never stopped. My wife was saying, well, where's the thunder? And I said, the thunder is rolling. It's constant. Can't you hear it?
Hey, quick question for you. This past weekend, of course, was Memorial Day weekend for the folks here in the States. And I'm curious, is it recognized there in the UK? And I, with a great deal of appreciation, because I know that the United Kingdom and, of course, Great Britain has been staunch supporters of U.S. endeavors and, of course, related to World War II and World War I, of course. But I'm curious, was there any recognition of Memorial
Day? It is a public holiday, but not Memorial Day.
Okay.
Our Memorial Day is on the 11th of November.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big ceremony every 11th of November at the 11th hour of 11th. The 11th month on the 11th day.
Right. And of course, that for us.
Everything comes to a halt.
And for us, that's Veterans Day here. But yes, yeah. that's.
Memorial Day here, it is a public holiday. Mm-hmm. But it's called Apple Day, and most people have forgotten about it.
Huh.
Apple Day commemorates the day that Charles II, in 1670 or so, came back and took over the throne after the collapse of the Cromwell regime.
Okay. So that's happening. That happens on the same time as we celebrate Memorial Day here in the States. And I do have to make mention of this, and I do appreciate greatly the recognition that the United Kingdom, Great Britain has for American interest, particularly as a result of World War II, but as well as World War I. And I know that there's a special chapel at St. Paul's there in London. I've actually visited it, and it's quite stirring, and it's greatly appreciated knowing that we are comrades in arms in moments of great international disputes. So
yeah, it's not just World War I and World War II. You know, I mean, there's Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan,
right.
Korea.
Yeah.
You know, a whole host of conflicts.
So no, this is, I just wanted to bring that up in that quick story. Well, let's move on to items there, and curious about some issues happening right now. One that's really caught some attention here in the States has to do with the topic of, Muslims and how Muslims are treating supposedly young women, and an issue related to a gentleman by the name of Tommy Robinson, who has been arrested. A little background on that one, if you will, Tom.
Yeah, no, Tommy Robinson, my advice would be to pick your heroes carefully.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy Robinson has been convicted 3 times for football hooliganism.
Oh.
He's been in prison for mortgage fraud.
He's been in prison for traveling on a false passport. He's been banned from the United States. Now,
wow.
Why was he arrested this time? He's also the founder of something called the English Defense League, which is about as close as you can get to a cross between the Nazi Party and the Ku Klux Klan.
Wow.
He was covering a trial in which Pakistani men were accused of grooming. The trial's still going on. So I can only say accused. So they allegedly groomed young British women to become prostitutes.
Mm-hmm.
He was covering the trial for a right-wing website in the States. He was taking photographs in the courtroom. So the judge saw him, stopped him, and said, "I'm sorry, I'm confiscating that camera, and you're not allowed to take any photographs. I should simply send you straight to prison, but I'm not going to because I'm going to make you a martyr."
Mm-hmm.
And so because of his background. And he said, "But for the duration of this trial, you are not allowed to take any photographs inside or outside the court." When he was arrested the second time, he was taking photographs outside the court in breach of the contempt of court order. So, you know, all I say is there are lots of things that Brits do wrong. Lots of things.
I can't imagine
it. Lots of things that Americans do wrong. But pick your cases.
Okay. This is an interesting story. Of course, it's generated a lot of views around the world as well. But I think you bring up a very interesting aspect of this, Tom. And again, Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com, Look Ahead Radio with us this afternoon here on Viewpoints Around the World. A perfect reason for why we have this conversation, Tom. And that is, if you will, the rest of the story, background on these individuals. What we're seeing is the initial story of his arrest for, contempt, but also the effort to report on stories, but we don't have sometimes the background on these individuals. And I'll just use the term, a very colorful background on Mr. Tommy Robinson. Real quickly, how is that being received there in the United Kingdom, there in London, in that area?
Basically, people think the judge is perfectly right. Now, where he made a mistake was that when he did issue the arrest warrant, he did not allow reporting restrictions to be lifted.
Ah.
And so it appeared as if he was just being arrested for taking photographs outside the courtroom, which is a perfectly legal thing to do.
Right.
And then after about 2 days, he was persuaded to lift the reporting restrictions, and the whole story came out.
Okay. There were some demonstrations at 10 Downing Street, as a matter of fact.
Yes,
there were some,
and there was a UKIP member of the House of Lords, Lord Pearson, who issued the warning to the Home Secretary, saying, "If anything happens to him in prison, I'm going to come after you personally."
Whoa, okay.
Something might happen to him in prison. I don't know. I mean, you know, quite honestly, given his Islamophobia, and what he said. And the fact that there are a lot of British Muslims in prison, it would be a bit like David Duke's going to a federal penitentiary,
mm-hmm.
which is filled with African Americans.
Right.
You know, he's not going to be popular.
Right. All right. Moving on to other items, kind of tangentially associated with that, the relations now in Europe, predominantly the United Kingdom, with the Muslim community and immigrants. And we're going to get into that in a few minutes. But I'm just curious, is there any improvement right now in your fair city?
Our fair city is not too bad. I say not too bad in the sense that, you know, London is a big multicultural city. 60%
right.
of the population were not born in Britain.
Mm-hmm.
So we live with, including myself. So we just live with each other and enjoy the differences. Now, where you get a lot of the tensions springing up are in places where there are not a great number of Muslims. Well, there are not a great number of foreigners.
Mm-hmm.
And so the ones who are there are seen to be threatening.
Okay. understood. Well, we'll get to other items here in just a moment. Just to remind folks, we're joined, of course, this afternoon, pre-recorded by Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio, Viewpoints Around the World.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment. Welcome back to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com, Look Ahead Radio. Just to remind folks, this portion has been pre-recorded, so we're not announcing the phone numbers for anyone making calls. But you can, if you wish, make comment. You can join us by emailing me at viewpointsradio@hotmail.com, viewpoints with an S, viewpointsradio@hotmail.com, or via Facebook at Viewpoints on the Talk Station. Tom's joining us from London, where it is a little after 11 p.m. his time. That's the reason we are pre-recording this program earlier in the day. Tom, several items to talk about, and I want to just touch on this one very quickly. Liège, Belgium. There was apparently a terrorist attack there, and of course, we're in the midst of Ramadan. We chatted a few moments ago about Islam, but I'm the whole topic, and we're going to get into the topic of immigrants and asylum seekers. That story, how well recorded was it? How important was it to the European community?
This one, not so much, I don't think.
Okay.
I don't think it had anything to do with Ramadan. The person concerned did not have a Muslim name. He was on day release from prison, and he was under psychiatric care. The day before, he had actually bludgeoned someone, a fellow prisoner, to death. And he skipped a meeting with his psychiatrist to go out and kill people in the street. I can't say with any certainty. You know, he did shout Allahu Akbar, but it sounds as if he was a rather poor young man. He was 31, who just snapped.
We've seen similar situations, quite frankly, in a different venue, obviously schools, where situations where we've seen people, as you just said, snapped. I don't want to belabor that. I just wanted to touch on it briefly because, obviously, as we get here in the States, we're getting into the tourist season. By the way, when is the tourist season there in the European community and in the UK? Is it, does it match our tourist season? Do we? Do you?
No. Depends on where you are. But generally, they say the tourist season starts at Easter and stretches up to the end of September. Now, the schools in the UK don't get out for the summer until the middle of July. But you will find a lot of people, there's a lot of what they call bank holidays between Easter and the end of September when they go back to school, beginning of September when they go back to school, and people will take advantage of those. And so that's when the tourist season is. It starts at the end of April. That's when the stately homes open up to the public and everything else.
All right, let's talk about another item that is generating a lot of conversation and news here in the States, Italy. And yesterday had quite an impact on the U.S. market, drop almost 400 points in the Dow as a result of concerns with the Italian government. We've chatted about this now for two consecutive weeks. You have to give you credit on this one. You've forecast that there was a lot of question about the future of Italy. What is the, well, background on it, if you would, very quickly, and then what do you see going forward? But let's start with the background on Italy and its process of government and governance.
Well, you know, it's what I call an Italian mess. You have the far left and the far right have, between them, almost 75% of all the seats in the parliament now. The far left is the Five Star Movement, the far right's the League. It took them a while to get together and decide that they had more in common than they had in differences, and they decided they were going to form a government. And they decided that the person they wanted for prime minister was a more or less unknown, called Giuseppe Conte. He was acceptable to President Mattarella. The president has to approve all of the appointments. He has to approve all the initial appointments. And he approved Giuseppe Conte, but he blocked the appointment of Paolo Savona as the finance minister, because Paolo Savona is anti-EU and anti-austerity. And as soon as they said that Paolo Savona was going to be the finance minister, the market just plummeted. And so Mattarella said, well, We can't have him as finance minister. And so as soon as he said that, he said he had to then, knowing he's going to have problems, appoint a different prime minister. And so he appointed an IMF director, Carlo Cottarelli, to be the prime minister instead of Giuseppe Conte. And he is pro-EU and pro-austerity, which is exactly the opposite of the five-star movement in the League, who is saying the president is acting undemocratically.
Gotcha.
And in a sense, I suppose he is. Well, what's happened now is that he has appointed Carlo Cottarelli as an interim prime minister and said, I want to have elections in January or September at the earliest. And the five-star movement and the League have said, well, we're going to block his appointment as prime minister in the parliament, because parliament has to approve him as well. If that happens, you're going to have to have elections more or less immediately. The chaos is just causing markets to plummet everywhere, because it is seen as one of the most disruptive things to the EU yet, possibly even more disruptive than Brexit.
That's the surprising aspect of this. And yet the Italian economy, and please correct me if I'm wrong, has been on the feather edge of collapse now for some 10 years. So why is there a feeling that this is such a shock to the European Union?
Well, it's because the government in Italy wants to respond to the economic problems by basically giving away a lot of money.
And that's
they want to cut taxes. They want to introduce a universal basic income. And they're talking about withdrawing from the euro. Now, these are things which will probably, you know, Italy has been on the cusp of economic collapse. These are things which will probably push it over the edge, and in doing so, there's a risk that it will drag down the EU. Greece, their economy, you know, was minuscule compared to the Italian.
If, in fact, the Italian community of Italy leaves the European Union, there's no loss to the European Union. That's my observation.
They're not talking about leaving the European Union.
Oh, they would stay within the European Union. Oh, okay.
Well, they would leave the Eurozone, the Euro currency.
Okay. They would leave.
But stay within the EU.
Is that possible?
I don't know.
No,
no one's ever suggested it before.
That doesn't make sense.
But no one's ever suggested, you know, what Britain did either.
Well,
I think that a lot of people are saying a lot of this is down to Germany. The French, for instance, Macron has been pushing very hard for a reform of the Eurozone. And the idea is that, you know, you give more support to governments like the Italians. The Italians are not getting much support from Germany. And the reason they're not getting much support is because the Germans are sick of giving support to failing economies elsewhere in Europe.
You know, there's a lot of common agreement with the Germans on that issue here in the States. We understand fully. Is there a growing awareness of the populist movement there in the European community? I mean, we've seen it in other countries. Is there growing, is the populist movement growing in the European community?
Absolutely, it is growing. It's growing in countries which are basically economic disaster areas,
mm-hmm.
because people are looking for simplistic solutions to problems.
All right, well, there's also the issue of countries that, such as Germany, where we're seeing frustration.
It's not so big in Germany.
All right,
Angela Merkel did not do as well as I predicted,
mm-hmm.
But she's still in power.
Okay, we're going to get
Macron is very much in power. He was the exact opposite trend. If you like, it's sort of the Northern Europeans are very much what I would call stable liberal democracies.
All right, we're going to get back to this in just a moment. Let's take a quick break here with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. You're listening to Viewpoints Around the World.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment.
Observations of an Expat by Tom Arms from LookAheadNews.com. It was the marriage of the century. John Bull and Europa were tying the knot. After literally hundreds of years of on-off romances and on-off tiffs, the two rivals had decided that they were both better off as one household rather than as two feuding neighbors. Let's be honest, J.B. was the more reluctant of the two. For centuries, he'd been top dog with conquest right across the globe. He didn't just have a girl in every port. He owned the ports and the hinterlands beyond. Unfortunately, two successive wars with Europa's close relative Herr Hun had cost him dearly. J.B. could no longer afford to maintain his worldwide harem, many of whom were tiring of his attentions anyway. So he jumped into the marital bed with Europa, who'd come up with a novel idea of stopping feuds between her troublesome family members by making them economically interdependent. Admitting J.B. to the select circle with a marriage contract was the coup de grace of years of complex wooing and negotiation. For a while, everything went swimmingly. There was a definite honeymoon period. But some of J.B.'s family were unhappy about the nuptials. Their heads told them that the family business could do better linked to Paris, Brussels, Frankfurt, and Rome. But their hearts yearned to be sailing across the high seas, sledging through the Canadian Arctic, or slashing their way through the jungles of Africa and South Asia. They started a whispering campaign against the marriage in general, and Europa in particular. She was greedy, corrupt, dictatorial, domineering, overpowering, undemocratic, and most of all, not British. The whispers grew to a debate, the debate grew to a row, and finally John Bull decided to call the family together for a vote on whether or not to sue for divorce. There was a fierce campaign of misinformation, half-truths, and outright lies, and finally the family voted by a narrow majority for divorce. Europa was shocked and hurt. She knew that some of JB's family were upset with her, but she didn't realize it was that bad. Besides, everyone knew that divorce would be an economic disaster for everyone. John Bull was actually on her side, mostly. But he was more concerned with stopping the family feud, so he'd promised to abide by the family decision. Divorce proceedings began. Now the difficult bit started. The marriage had lasted for 43 years. There were thousands of joint investments, pensions, agreements, property and family businesses to unravel and sort out. The Brexiteers, that was the name given to the Brits who campaigned to exit from the marriage, had claimed during the campaign that divorce would be a simple matter, that Europa needed JB more than JB needed Europa. So John's family would keep all their shares in the family business, not have to recompense Europa and her family for any losses, maintain access to everything they wanted, leave everything they didn't want, and return to gallivanting and forming liaisons around the world. What? Screamed Europa. You're the ones who want the divorce. I've done nothing. You have to pay your fair share of the bills we've run up together. And if you're going to leave, then you can't have access to the sat-nav system that I paid for. The same goes for all those other scientific experiments. Oh, and because I paid 90% of the cost of them, they're all moving to my new house, so your family will be out of a job. On top of that, we are not going to let you disrupt the prosperity, security, and lives of our joint cousins, the Irish. And if you want to keep selling things to my family, it will be on our terms. You are the one who wants out of this marriage. You pay the price. The Brexiteers said, fine. We'll just walk out without a divorce settlement. Great, said Europa. Then you walk out with nothing. It started to dawn on a growing number of JB's family that divorce might not be such a good idea after all.
We now return to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints around the world with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com, Look Ahead Radio. We were just chatting a few moments ago about the situation, the mess in Italy, and the impact that this is having, on the world economy, which is somewhat of a surprise to me personally, in light of the fact that Italy is, well, a country that has been in financial straits for quite some time. We won't belabor that topic too much longer, but I am just curious, Tom, before we go on to other items, let's touch on Galileo here in a few moments. The topic of the Italian election, what What is the anticipation? Is there a feeling that Italy will eventually get its house in order, or is there grave concern that this may just devolve even further?
Look at the markets. Grave concern.
Well, the markets in the States are beginning to show an uptick, but so that's the case across the Europe. Question for you related to the Eurozone versus the Euro and the European Community. The topic of asylum seekers and immigrants, has that's posed a problem for Italy, has it not? And is that part of the discussion with the...
It is part of the discussion.
Okay.
Five Star Movement and the League both want to deport 500,000 illegal immigrants. Italy has become the port of entry for most illegal immigrants mm-hmm. ever since the Aegean was closed off. They cross over from Libya.
Mm-hmm. So
they land on a little Italian island called Lampedusa. And once they've landed, they're in Italy.
And they have to be received as basically asylum seekers or immigrants. Am I correct on that?
Yes. Oh, and okay. Under EU law, it's the responsibility of the Italians because they are the first country to receive them. It's the responsibility of the Italians to look after them.
Wow. All right. I can well appreciate the frustration the Italians are experiencing, but we won't get into that. Let's talk very quickly about Galileo. What's the relationship here on this one?
You say Galileo, I say Galileo.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, that's a sat-nav system.
Oh.
And it is the EU sat-nav system
mm-hmm.
involving satellites and everything else, which the British played a major part in developing. Now, when it was set up, the British insisted that it be only made available to EU members.
Mm-hmm.
The reason is because it has a military application.
Right.
And security application. And so they don't want that information, especially what's called the encrypted information, to be shared beyond European borders. And so now that they're withdrawing from the EU, the EU says you can't have access to it anymore.
All right. That's
and the British are really cross because they need it. They need it a lot.
Wow.
And they're saying, well, if we have to develop our own, it's going to cost five times as much. And they said, well, yeah, sure.
All right. Is there any,
but you made the rule.
All right. Is there any effort? We'll move on to other items. I'm going to stay with the UK here in a moment. But is there any effort to solve this problem, or is it just right now just a topic of discussion?
Well, at the moment, they don't seem to be able to agree.
Okay. But yeah. More of a topic.
The EU says you're out.
All right.
Brits say, but we want to stay in.
But
it's not just Galileo. It's a number of scientific ventures which they were doing jointly.
Be careful. Be careful what you wish for. You may, in fact, get it. And, of course, as an example.
So to my mind, it's a classic case of they wanted out of the EU, but they didn't have a plan B.
And they didn't think of all the details. Let's move on to another item, one that really caught my attention. Ireland and abortion, and that was a surprise. And by the way, how much did the international community influence that referendum? Ireland has, explain that for us, if you will, Tom.
Well, two-thirds voted in favor of abortion.
Right. And I know that...
It was pretty overwhelming.
Which is surprising for a predominantly Catholic country. And the other aspect of this, Tom, and this has to go with the issue of religion and politics, and I think Ireland's a perfect example of this. I understand that a large number of expats returned to Ireland so they could vote in this referendum.
Yes.
What's happened?
Yes, it was really incredible. The planes were absolutely packed with Irish people returning so that they could vote.
Wow.
It was a very emotive subject in Ireland, and it's understandable because you're right. It is a devout Catholic country, or it always has been mm-hmm. seen as such. But it is changing. It is joining the rest of the world community. Yes, I think you can say that through its membership of the EU, it is a really keen member of the EU, mm-hmm. that it has been influenced by other members in the EU. There's only one country in the EU now, or in Europe, which bans abortions, and that's Malta.
Wow. All right. Even Italy does not ban abortions.
No, it's difficult in Italy, but they're not banned.
All right.
Now, this is very interesting. I didn't mention this to you in my memo, but it created a real problem for the British.
Why?
Because Northern Ireland still bans abortions, and for religious reasons. But, you know, not because they're Catholic, but because they're Protestant. They are very conservative Protestants. And so the British government now is saying, well, if Ireland has lifted the ban on abortions, if Southern Ireland, ERA, has lifted the ban, then Northern Ireland should do the same. And the leader of the DUP, Democratic Unionist Party, in Northern Ireland says, no, we will not do so. And Mrs. May relies on her for support. But there are people within her party who are saying, because there is no government in Northern Ireland anymore, because Sinn Féin and the Democratic Unionist Party can't agree, you have the right to impose the end of abortion in Northern Ireland. And but if she does impose it, then the Democratic Unionist Party would withdraw their support from the Conservative government and it would fall.
Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com, Look Ahead Radio with us this evening. Again, this portion has been pre-recorded. You're welcome to make comment to us via email at viewpointsradio@hotmail.com, viewpoints with an S, viewpointsradio@hotmail.com, or via Facebook at Viewpoints on the Talk Station. Let's move on to another item associated briefly with religion. A gay atheist politician in Poland. What is this about?
Who would have thought? His name is Robert Biedron.
And by the way, Poland is a predominantly Catholic country, too.
Oh, devoutly Catholic.
I know.
If you cast your mind back to the Cold War era, and it was because it was so Catholic, that was one of the reasons the Soviet Union collapsed.
How impressive is this? How significant is this?
It's significant because it's a sort of chink in the armor of conservatism
in Poland.
He's not only gay, he's an atheist.
That's the real issue.
And apparently, he's a really good mayor.
Oh, is he a mayor? Is he currently serving?
He's a mayor of a city of 100,000 called Slupsk.
Okay.
I think I pronounced that right.
All right.
Slupsk, S-L-U-P-S-K. In the past, he used to be beaten up in the street. But now, he's doing such a good job as mayor that, you know, they're taking off their hat and touching their forelock every time they see him.
Well, this is an interesting story. I want to move on to other items around the world because we've got so much to cover. India media taking cash from political parties, moving on to India.
Yeah, now this is interesting because, you know, in India, as you know, is the world's largest democracy.
Right.
And a pillar of democracy. One of the things you have to have is a free press.
Right.
And there is a website called Cobra Post, and they sent out people to 25 of the leading newspapers. Out of the 23 out of the 25 said that they would accept bribes of up to $150 million.
Well, I mean, I can appreciate it. $150 million would catch anybody's attention.
But basically to write stories
of positive
in support of BJP party, which is the ruling Hindu party.
Okay. All right.
So 23 out of the 25 top newspapers said, you know, yeah, sure. You know, you pay us the cash and we'll write articles in favor.
But have they done it?
They certainly didn't cough over any money because they didn't have it.
All right. But right now there's no indication that they've accepted money for positive press at this point.
No.
Okay.
No indication they've accepted money. But I can tell you, a lot of these newspapers are pretty pro-BJP anyway.
Okay. All right, let's move on to going around the world. Let's go to a new Austrian hardline on immigrants. I should have mentioned that earlier. What's going there? Because that, of course, has been a big issue with Austria and Germany and some of the countries in the northern countries, Netherlands and Sweden, etc. What's the Austrian hardline on immigrants? How is that being played?
Well, that's basically refers to their benefit payments. And the benefit payments are being capped at $655 a month.
The immigrants automatically get premium payments?
No, they have to be in the country for 5 years.
What about,
they get anything.
Do they not have to work?
Yeah, they have to work. And in order to get anything, they have to be able to speak German.
Okay. All right.
Now, $655 may seem like a lot of money, but it is about $1,000 for an Austrian citizen.
Okay, here's a quick question. Now, I don't want to get into the details, but how is this being received in Austria, and what does the rest of the European community think about this?
Well, the rest of the European community, it's being relatively well received in Austria.
Okay.
The rest of the European community, it's again one of these things which goes against European regulations.
Ah.
And so they may come up against a situation where the commission will say, you can't do this. And the Austrian government will say, yes, we can. We have national rights, our sovereignty and everything else. And the European Commission will say, well, we're going to have to impose some sort of penalties if you do, and so forth.
Tom,
you're seeing this increasingly in Eastern and Central Europe.
Okay, now, Tom.
Austria, Hungary, etc.
All right, Tom, very quickly, because we got to go to a break. I'm curious, is there a concern that possibly there's major cracks in the European Union?
Yes. Yes,
okay.
I think there are. I think Italy and the immigration issue are causing some major cracks in the European Union.
And, of course, was started, initiated by Brexit. All right, Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com, Look Ahead Radio, with us here this afternoon on Viewpoints Around the World.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment. Welcome back to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. Tom, we've got to get to the issue of the credit card buskers. I want to hear that. But two items. One, related to the issue of the Austrian immigrants that you've mentioned to me just a moment ago off air. Something about Hungary? Tell me about that as well.
Yeah, well, you know, they're taking even a harder line. They are going to, they have a bill going through Parliament at the moment to criminalize, to make it illegal for anyone to help immigrants or refugees.
Wow.
So if you run a legal center or give any refugees a home or anything like that, you could end up in prison.
Quick question for you, Tom. Back to my question a few moments ago about the cracks in the European Union. Is it really an issue of economics, or is that topic of asylum and immigration the real crux? Very quick yes or no answer from you. The real crux of the challenges associated with the European Union.
There is no yes or no, because in some cases it's primarily economic, in some cases it's primarily immigrant.
Okay.
And it goes right back in the roots of history. You know, Hungary had a long-standing, centuries-long war with Islam,
right,
fighting against the Ottoman Empire and everything else.
Okay. Let's move on to another item very quickly. The events in North Korea, just a quick question. What's the feeling in the European community about the future of summit talks with President and President of North Korea, Kim Jong-un?
On, off, on. Are they going to take place? At the moment, it looks like I wrote a column this week in which I said, I told you so, when I thought they're going to be called off. Of course, I might have to eat those words, but then again, I might not be eating those words. I think people over here are confused.
Well, we argue that that's the intent of the president, to maintain confusion. All right, very quick note here. Milan Heroes, because I want to get to the credit card buskers. What exactly I'm looking at this.
It's gone viral. I don't know if you
Mali
from the West African country of Mali. I don't know if you saw the video. There was a illegal immigrant from Mali was walking down the street. He saw a baby, or a 3-year-old toddler, hanging from a balcony. He from the fourth, I think it was a 4-story balcony.
Mm-hmm.
He leapt into action and in 30 seconds had climbed the wall of this apartment building and pulled the baby to safety.
Wow. All right.
30 seconds it took him.
Amazing.
As a result, he was called to Elysee Palace and made a French citizen.
Very interesting.
And they found him a job as a fireman.
Wow. All right. And then let's wrap it up with the credit card buskers. Tell us about this.
Oh, yeah. I don't know about you. You've been to London.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoy the buskers, especially on the underground.
All right. Now
and
tell
you,
folks.
You reach in your pocket and you throw in a pound coin or something like that.
Now tell folks. All right. Tell folks what a busker is.
A busker is usually a musician
mm-hmm.
Who will stand on street corners playing his violin or his guitar and singing away quite merrily. And in front of him will be his musical case, which you're supposed to throw money into.
Right.
He's entertained. He's an entertainer.
Right. So how does this work with a credit card?
Well, they've changed it now. All the buskers now are going to have contactless payment terminals. And so you'll be able to pull out your credit card and just push it. And you can do it with your phone as well. I think part of me says, that's great. That's great, you know, for the buskers. They probably get a lot more money. Part of me says, oh, that's a sad way. It's a passing of a way of life.
All right, Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com, Look Ahead Radio. So when you go to London, be prepared to use your credit card, your debit card, to pay for those roadside musicians. Tom, as always, thank you for being with us. This is great news. Appreciate your time, and have a great week, sir.
Thank you.
Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio.
Look Ahead Radio is a production of The Talk Station.